So, Shane, this is an award show, correct?
Yeah.
DBKMediaServices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Gracious good evening, or good afternoon, or good morning, or whatever time you're listening. This is, in fact, the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, episode 221. I am Bruce Knox, and I will introduce the other gentlemen momentarily. First, though, I'd like to remind you that this and all shows have been brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, open 7 days a week. Get all kinds of good Cardo's pizza, all kinds, including the chicken bacon ranch, the garlic cheese, the BLT. My mouth is watering already. Give them a call at 740-773-7529 or find them on the web for all kinds of detailed information at www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. And so I'd like to bring in the two sports nerds who make SVC Sports Talk what it is. First, from somewhere in Illinois, just a hoot and a holler from Chicago, that toddling town, home of the Stockyards, Mrs. O'Leary's cow, the White Sox, the Cubs, Carl Sandburg, hog butcher of the world, toolmaker, stacker of wheat, player with railroads and the nation's freight handler, stormy, husky, brawling city of the big shoulders. Let's bring in Derek Webb.
I don't know how to follow that.
How close are you to Chicago, actually?
I am about 35 minutes south.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah, I'm close to everything that you just said.
Okay. Well, we welcome you back, Derek. We missed you last week, but, you know, we understand you had to do some things. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we were attending a concert last week. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Mom and I had went and seen Joan Jett. So, see, we've got something in common, Bruce.
Yeah, there you go. Some good old 80s or 70s. I think that would be the 80s, would it not be?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you being here. It's going to be a big show. And now the soothsayer of SVC Sports himself, the man himself, Mr. Shane Combs. Hello, Shane.
Hey, guys. I look forward to capping off season 7 here of SVC Sports Talk. It's been a wonderful ride here on the website and what it's done for the show. But I can't even imagine the anticipation across the Cider Valley Conference this evening as people awaiting the announcement of the Sports Zonies.
Well, speaking of this Sports Zonie, this is our annual SVCSportsZone.com Sports Zonie Awards show. And I've decided to get all spiffed up, as you can see, with my tux and tails. And, of course, I'm loving me some of these great snacks that you guys in the executive department provided for us, Shane. But I do think perhaps you should have got us something from Triple Crown, you know, rather than these pickled pig's feet that we have over here. I'm just not into that a lot. So, you know, maybe next year we can actually get something that we would eat. And I know Derek, you know, he's a man out on his own now, and he could use a snack now and then.
So. Probably could help him out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is the big end of the season show, but first, I thought we'd let you guys kind of summarize, you know, your view of the show, what it's meant, and what we've done, and so forth. We've been doing this, as you mentioned, for 7 years, 221 episodes. What are your thoughts about this little effort of ours? I'll let Derek go first.
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, for me, it makes me look forward to Sunday nights when we record. It makes me, you know, it allows me to be able to give, you know, some of our area student athletes recognition where I might not be able to give them in print or, you know, in tweets or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I think it gives another platform for our area athletes to get the recognition they so deserve. And it's really cool to see and hear and read emails and whatever, you know, the contact method is, of however many listeners we have and how much they like it and how much they, you know, they look forward, you know, to the show as well. So that means something to me. I think it's a great outreach. You know, I think it's another, it's what makes our area unique, because no other area in Ohio has something like this. So, I mean, it's awesome.
Well, we appreciate your saying so, and you'll get your paycheck again this week, just like last week. Shane, what has it meant to you? I mean, I know, I guess you and I have been around for all 221 episodes, and it's it probably means most of those things that Derek just said, plus more.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, it's next level. You know, the website turns 10 years old this year, and when we did that, I think it was a time in our area where we really needed to supplement a little bit more of our coverage. We needed to cover our kids, cover our programs, get a lot of names, a lot of stats, a lot of numbers out there. But once time went, and maybe that helped just supplement, you know, WKKJ, Chillicothe Gazette, so forth. Maybe if it pushed them along, then great. But what it really did is the podcast, SVC Sports Zone, SVC Sports Talk here, what it's really done is gone next level. It's so different in our area. There's nothing like it, and there still hasn't been anything like it. You know, you'll get shows or articles or written print or so forth about articles, interviews, talk about athletes, talk about games, but there's, in terms of just a sports talk show where we talk about the kids, talk about the programs, talk about some different things in the SVC and high school sports. We've expanded it out to, you know, our officiating and just so many different avenues that we've gone. It's been a lot of fun. And I think we even have some new avenues that we have in mind if the show's able to continue down the road. If I think we have some things we can explore if we decide to go that way.
All right. We'll keep those in mind. And, you know, we're looking for input from some of the listeners, and we'll get to that a little bit later as to how you can provide that. What are some of the major topics or storylines that has always been a part of the show? Not necessarily just recently, but what you can think of over the, I don't know, past 7 years, I guess.
Yeah, I think the obvious are your athletes, the teams, the games, the interviews, our live calls. They've been a lot of fun, Bruce. Mm-hmm. I know Derek and I've done some. Jeremy and I've done some. Joey Holbert and I did some. Those have been a lot of fun. Obviously, the enrollment, the word expansion has been off and on forever. You know, obviously, a league that's been tested in that avenue over the last 15 years. You know, once just a D3 league, now really a D2, D3, and in some cases a D4 league. So something that isn't going to go away. I think each school is going to have to study to see what the future holds best for their individual programs, community, and athletes. So what happens is when you have those different perspectives, guys, I think little league issues that come up, fundraising issues, parent issues, building a program, all these different perspectives are going to deal with different ways to look at those things. And I think that's why SVC Sports Talk, you know, works so well. Mm-hmm. I know just inside one school, you know, go from a program to program and the different ways things are dealt with. Well, obviously, when you take eight different schools of several different sizes and all of those different perspectives on how these different things are handled, I think that's why SVC Sports Talk works and will continue to work into the future.
All right. Well, we will keep plugging away here. And without much further ado, I think we probably should get to it. Like you said, the anticipation is nuts. I
can't even imagine.
Yeah. There's probably two or three people out there actually wondering what we're going to choose, but we're going to get to that in just a second. First, we want to thank a sponsor I've been around, I believe, 3 or 4 years now, Crown Hill Golf Club. Summer's here. We went straight from winter into summer, and that means it's time to hit the little white ball around. And we encourage you to, when you decide where to do that, you please give Crown Hill Golf Club a call and see what you can work out with them. They realize that it's a little bit of a hike to get there from time to time, but it's worth the wait. Give them a call at 740-986-4653, located up there at 9500 US Highway 22 in Williamsport. And we really do appreciate their support over the past couple seasons. I know they're putting on that's where Vinton County is going to have their golf outing coming up pretty soon. And I have a feeling if Mr. Combs can get out there, he'll be out there. And I'm talking
about Saturday. Yeah. This Saturday, I plan on going up and playing. Okay. I look forward to opportunity getting out and hitting the ball around a little bit and seeing a bunch of people from Vinton County there and so forth. So yeah, great event every year. Great host and Crown Hill Golf Club. Looking forward to playing in it.
For some reason I didn't get my invitation this year. I don't know what it is. It might be the 57 handicap that I carry. I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, like I said, the anticipation has been built, and it's now time to get into the Sport Zoney awards, the actual awards. We're going to start, I guess the way that this format will work is I'm going to mention the format. We're going to let the two sports nerds discuss it. When they get done with their discussion, I will then make the grand announcement and sort of in a fill-in-the-blank kind of format, and these guys will render their decision. So without further ado, let's get on with it. The first Sports Zoney of the year is going to go out for the Game of the Year.
Yeah, on the Game of the Year, guys, it's pretty self-explanatory. Derek, what we're really looking for is just, you know, the best game, regardless of the sport, regular season, tournament, league, non-league, whatever it may be. Just you and I are sports nuts. You know, we enjoy going out, enjoy going to games. So you think of, gosh, I can't even imagine it's into the hundreds of how many, you know, games we attended this year. We're just looking for the best one, the most exciting, you know, for whatever reason you deem necessary. So when I got going here, I started thinking back through the year, some of the games that maybe I was not at. And I wasn't sure, Derek, if you were. I know on the soccer side, you do a great job with soccer coverage. I know when Westfall beat Uniota 1-0, that was a big deal for that program. Marcy Dudgeon had the 35 saves. I know you covered the Uniota soccer program really well. They were district champs, correct, with the Fairfield Union and Chillicothe wins. I don't know how you felt about that. I certainly, you know, wanted to cover. I know there in the fall, I was at a Westfall come from behind win right after they had upset Edina in the tournament. They fall down 2-0 to Alexander, and they come all the way back and win that. So that was kind of on my list. I know there were several football I'll go to, but before I steal too many, I just wanted to start to get some feedback from you, and we'll just bounce some ideas back and forth. And then when Bruce tells us it's time there, we'll try to pick a winner. And if we don't agree, we don't agree, but maybe we will come to an agreement on one game of the year.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You named some great games. You know, a couple that come to mind that, you know, are on my list. Piketon's district semifinal win and on the basketball court over, I think it was Alexander. They're down big at halftime. They come back.
Yes, Tanner Perdue
had, I think, 22 fourth quarter points or something ridiculous. I thought of that one. You mentioned the Uniota Fairfield Union soccer game. You know, Fairfield Union came into that night state ranked. You know, they had one of probably their best score, and I believe she's had a scoring record, you know, at Fairfield Union. They really held her down, smothered her on defense, and that was exciting. Then they you know, played Chillicothe. Obviously, that's always exciting when those two teams get together. And then, you know, I also wrote down the Uniota and the Waverly game. It was a sloppy game. It was, you know, it had a little bit of everything. It wasn't, I guess, well played if you're a basketball nut, but it was. There had been a lot of talk, you know, that week between the two schools, you know, and Matt Hoops, Travis Robinson, their coaches. And then it's a 5-point ball game where a lot of people thought Uniota might have, you know, ran away with that game. So I just thought it was fun to watch Waverly kind of take Uniota out of their game, but Uniota, you know, kind of fight back and you know, kind of prevail. So then you mentioned the football side and just so many games. Obviously, the Southeastern Panthers, you know, their win over Catholic Central.
Oh, week 11. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's excited. You know. Yep. So I mean, yeah, I mean, there, like you said, I mean, just so many things to choose from. So many memories that you know our kids have given us this year. You know, it's hard to pick one. I mean, it is.
Well, and then Bruce, I know. Earlier in the year in the regular season. See, some people have different views on this. They think, well, you know, if something happens in the postseason, it has a little bit more meaning. I get that. I think so. But I think also, I know Paint Valley was on the on both sides in football, you know, Paint Valley, Williamsburg, Huntington, Paint Valley, where they go opposite ways. Those football games. You know, Derek, one thing we haven't mentioned, what about girls basketball, Southeast Mineota? And what you'll hear, Bruce, is throughout the night how a lot of different performances or specific plays will start to overlap into other categories. So when I think of certain games, maybe it's not a game as much as it is a certain play or a certain performance that goes. So I think sometimes, and I certainly don't want to, I don't care if it's non-league or not, the Adina Wheelersburg baseball game. I know I was out at the VA that night, and that game went, I believe, 11 innings. Mm-hmm. Every inning, you're like, okay, I'm about ready to go. I walk down a little bit. Well, I better watch another inning. You know, it's just two great ones. Paint Valley, Zane Trace. I know, obviously, I was involved in that one, but actually a fan reminded me of that. That was a game, Derek, where we were down 8-0. At Zane Trace, and you're just trying to figure out a way not to embarrass yourself and get run ruled. Well, over the next hour, to the Paint Valley kids' credit, you know, we bounce back. We come all the way back and go up 9-8. And then in the bottom of the seventh inning, we're a couple outs away from winning the game. And Zane Trace, is that their offense can certainly do, finds a way to get a couple runs across and wins it on a walk-off there. So, they're every sport. I'm looking down through my list to make sure I didn't forget any. I even had down some of the sectional finals there in basketball. The PV Eastern Brown was an overtime game. So, yeah, I mean, every sport certainly offers some, Derek, and it is going to be tough to pick just one. But I think I'm ready to give my selection if you are. So that we'll let Bruce give us the official call here.
All right. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Sony. For the game of the year goes to
really tough for me to decide between about two or three, but I'm going to go with the Southeastern at Uniota girls basketball game. I think that's, you know, with such big league implications with the way that established our league champions there at the end of the year in that race. I think to me, when you take in atmosphere, you take in league significance, you take in the exciting back and forth nature of some of the incredible talent on the floor that night, that's where I would go for game of the year. Derek, agree or feel free to add in your own there.
I'm actually going to go different. I mentioned my kind of, you know, my pick earlier when I was talking about games, and I covered that Southeastern at that Steubenville Catholic Central game. And a lot of times as a reporter, and I mean the football game, week 11, Southeastern's first playoff win, you know, their first time they go to week, 12. But as a reporter, a lot of times you have to stay grounded. And if you remember in that game, they won with about 3 seconds left after Carson Stouffer, with about 30 seconds left, pretty much knocked the running back unconscious, forced a fumble. They get the ball. Lane Ruby throws it to Dakota Hauser with like 3 seconds left, and that's how they win. So, as a reporter trying to stay grounded, I'm jumping up and down. Sure. So that, to me, that was the most exciting game that I covered. It was definitely, you know, just the atmosphere and you know what was on the line for the Panthers at the time. They stay 11-0, their best season in history. So I went there.
Can't argue with all with that, Bruce. That was the other game I was back and forth on. So I think we offer the fans two really, really good ones there that be hard to argue against.
And we've checked with the accounting department. We've got enough money to give out two sports zonies for game
yes.
day, right?
Yes, okay. No problem.
All right. Our next topic is on the boys' side, and it's the breakout SVC star in 2017-2018.
I think what's interesting about this term here, Derek, we're looking at kids that, sure, maybe they are all league or maybe they've actually come up on in terms of become, as the topic says, a star, but maybe coming into the year, you didn't quite know to what level they would be at. So their performance throughout the year is truly been a breakout type of thing. I think with it being here on the boys' side, I think it started a little bit late in last year's calendar turn with the basketball tournament into the spring. But I think Lane Ruby is a kid that comes to my mind. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe some people would argue that, nah, it's not really a breakout term. We already knew that. And I can't argue against that because we certainly did. I know Alex Blanton Has certainly been a kid that's gone next level in terms of being an all-league performer on a really good basketball team. I know he's a good runner as well. How about the Garrison kid at Edina? Really, you could say the entire Edina freshman class with what they've done in a lot of sports. I think Garrison of Edina really, really hits this category. Maybe even a Carson DeBoard at Uniota. I know some people have said he's as good a freshman as they've seen in baseball in quite some time. So, and that's not me talking. That's you know, people around the area, you know, sending those types of comments to me as an opposing coach. I certainly can't disagree with that. He's an incredible talent. So those are some of the ones that jump out at me on the boys' side, Derek. Certainly don't want to hog them all. Any other boys' breakout stars that maybe come to your mind?
Sure. I mean, you know, you mentioned the Garrison kid. He was on my list. You know, I had Brock Blanton, you know, from your baseball team, Pay Valley there. I thought just the numbers on him. I didn't know his name before the season started. And then I, you know, continue to think, well, who is this kid out of Paint Valley? I mean, those are what I kind of consider breakout stars, where they just kind of pop up on the radar all of a sudden, and maybe they weren't on my radar at the beginning of the year.
Well, real quick there too, I'm gonna let you know. I just wanted to, that's an interesting point, because a lot of times when we think of breakout, you know, from what you're saying, a lot of people probably did know the name McDonald, Mettler.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
You know, obviously Newland. So yeah, that's a good point. A lot of times, Bruce, it does come from different perspectives of who you knew or who you did not know going into a year. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I mean, it was, you know, Garrison was another one of those. The DeBoard, you mentioned DeBoard. He was another one of those. I had Gabe McKee from Uniota's boys team as well. I think that, you know, when you look at, I thought Skylar Heiss continued, though we knew her name, she had a better season than she did during her freshman year, and she continued to be kind of butt into that maybe next star Southeastern needs after Ella Skeens leaves. And I know that's on the girls' side, but my point is, I had some of the kids where they were freshmen last year, they were sophomore last year, played a little bit, you know, and then now they're stars in the league. So yeah, I mean, I kind of had the same list you did. There's a couple other names, like I said, Blanton, the Roop kid at Huntington Weston. But yeah, I mean, I think we're on the same page here. Again, I think you're probably going to pick the one I am.
All right, gentlemen. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for Boys Breakout SVC Star in 2017-2018 goes to...
I'm going to go to Jared Garrison of Edina. I think when you start looking at the second half of the basketball season, you've got a kid 6'2", 6'3", still growing into his body. This kid could be 6'3", 6'4", eventually here if he's not already there. I think he's a game changer in basketball. On the baseball diamond, his skill set is probably even more polished. His ability to throw on the mound. I know late into the year, I haven't had the final stats, Derek, but late in the year, I think he was still pushing 500 in terms of batting average. Extremely tough out. Just a terrific kid that, again, when you think of breakout star of maybe you didn't know going into the year, you know, coming out of junior high, I knew he was going to probably play varsity in both sports. Had no idea he was going to play him at this level. So to me, this category kind of ended up being a no-brainer.
I was right. I mean, you're spot on. I thought I had Jared Garrison circled as soon as I saw this category. And then when I got a list of about 10 to 15 names, you just can't, to me, I just couldn't put somebody at this category that was better or you know, in that category as a breakout star. I just didn't think anybody did it like Jared Garrison did it. You're right. Basketball, he's going to be, he's a future player of the year. I know that's a big, bold statement, but he's got that type of talent. In baseball, you're right again. He could also be a player of the year in baseball as well if he continues. So it's kind of crazy that his baseball talent or his baseball game is more polished than his basketball game, because his basketball game is really good. And I can say this, Shane, over my 5-6 years covering basketball in the area, I don't know, other than maybe Ellis Skeens and Swingle, I don't know if I've seen a freshman just pop into a system in a tough system that Kyle Bradley runs at Edina and just kind of go with it. I mean, he didn't have to adjust much. He was already at the speed of the game, or so that, you know, we saw during at game time. He's got raw talent. He's going to be a star. So yeah, I mean, we were right. We're right on.
Okay. Well, that is our boys' breakout SVC star. And as you might expect, next up, the girls' breakout SVC star in 2017-2018.
Guys, we didn't talk much in a pre-show, and we tried not to, just so that we are getting true reaction. You know, right in, yeah, reaction from each other. So I guess, Derek, I wanted to stop a minute and just get your opinion on someone here, Halle Pinkerton. Mm-hmm. What category? She's so talented, yet so young still. What category do you see her in? Like, is it fair to call her a breakout star, or should we be looking at her more in an athlete of the year type of thing, or an underappreciated type of athlete? It's really, her name kind of went all over my list here as I was preparing for the show tonight. So that was one thing that I would love to hear from you as we go. Obviously, I know one that you did a great piece on before you left, Kylie Kello of Huntington. Mm-hmm. Big time breakout star. I'd heard things through junior high, pretty talented. Again, had no idea. I think as you look at breakout stars like that, I think those are certainly things that come to mind. But I would love to just hear some of your kids here in this category, just to see where you judge some of these girls in terms of what category you would put them in.
Well, I mean, for me, first of all, to answer Halle Pickard, that I have her in one of the categories that you mentioned, and it's not this one. I thought that I think it depends on the sport with Halle, because if you look at her in a volleyball sense, I mean, she could be underappreciated because they have so many kids on the volleyball. I mean, they're stacked, that they have so many, you know, great talents on the court. Then if you look at the softball, you could look at an athlete of the year. You could look at a breakout athlete of the year. So, yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the sport with her, but you're right. She was all over my list as well. You know, in terms of the girls' breakout player of the year, you know, at Adina, I had Hannah Stark. I think she's going to be what Richard Scott wants her to be out there on the basketball court. I had Caitlin Dobbins at Paint Valley. You mentioned Kylie Kello. I'd throw in Emily Hobile, you know, for their basketball team. I mentioned Skylar Heist a little bit earlier, and that's another one.
There's another kid that you could put her like a three categories.
Exactly. I mean, and so I had her in this category, you know, and like you said, the underappreciated category. So, you know, I think Josie Fisher is another one. We mentioned Halle Pinkerton and Yota, but Josie, I mean, she did what she did this year on the basketball court as a sophomore, but she kind of took it to that next level this year. And then she also came into her own on the volleyball court, and then she did what she did on the softball diamond as well. So I had a good mix. I think that you're right. A lot of
how about Phillips at Westfall?
Yeah, absolutely. She's her last name's Phillips, and she plays volleyball. Like, what do you expect? Right? You know. That's the thing. I think more so in the girls category that I have names and multiple you know, topic, and so I don't know why that is. I could put multiple girls in a lot of different topics, whereas boys, I'm kind of cut and dry. You know, this one's here, this one's here. So maybe
Bruce,
I'm weird.
Maybe Bruce, I don't know if you agree with this or not. I think that might come from, you know, the girls are asked to play, you know, bigger roles in more sports at a younger age, maybe. Maybe that's where some of that comes from. I'm not sure.
Right. Did you have others, Shane, that you kind of jumped into the question, but then you got
out? Well, I had some with the question mark. I certainly had Kello there. I certainly had Phillips. I think Grace Lytle was a kid that had kind of a breakout year. Mm-hmm. I think we kind of knew that was coming, but nonetheless, still had that. I also think it's interesting how sometimes you can still be older and still start to have breakout. Like you mentioned Dobbins and so forth. I think that was pretty well said. I even think in a lot of ways, even though she was older, I think even like a Rachel Collins had kind of a next level type of year that played a big role in some really, really good teams. So those are some of the kids that I had across the way here. But I'm pretty confident in the selection here on this category.
Okay, we can't wait. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for Girls Breakout SVC Star in this year goes to
– Well, Derek, I think when you think breakout stars on the girls' side, I think we have a couple freshmen right off the top of my head that's going to be future player of the years in our league in their respective sports before they're done, and it might be sooner rather than later. One certainly plays volleyball at Westfall, but this year's winner for me is going to be Kylie Kello of Huntington. Just what she's done there in the circle for the Huntington softball program and putting there at the top, that's got to be exciting for them in terms of kind of makes them a mainstay, really, for the next 3 years there in terms of the top couple spots there and as well as in the district, possibly regional runs for the Huntington softball program.
Derek, agree or disagree?
Shane, we're 2 for 3 here. Kylie Kello, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, you said it all. I mean, she is the, other than Michaela Newland, probably the best freshman pitcher I've covered. And you got to remember, I didn't cover during their freshman years, just so people don't like send me, you know, angry emails. Morgan Gino, I didn't cover her during her for freshman year. You know, the Zimmerman girl from Piketon, I didn't cover her. I didn't cover Lytle during her freshman year. So, I mean, in a softball sense, she was right up there with Michaela for me. And as a freshman, I mean, I saw her, my first game I saw her was against Unioto when they beat him, I believe it was 7-8 or 8-5. She threw one pitch and my dad had went to the game with me that night and I said, okay, she's really good. And, you know, so yeah, I mean, we're 2 for 3. Kylie Kell is my selection as well.
All right. We move along to record setting performance of the year. Shane.
Well, guys, we have a boatload of them. This is a loaded category. And when you do a category like this, Derek, it reminds you how special it was to follow SVC sports this year. Matty Edwards, the all-time assist leader in SVC history. Dylan Swingle, Ella Skeens, all-time leading scorers. Uniota boys basketball in their streak. Lexi Woods, school record. Braden Collins with steals, and she's chasing down the school record next year. The Mohans and track, and some different numbers that are falling there, and so forth. So, I mean, the list is long and just crazy. And this one, Bruce, if we were ever going to have a throw them in the hat and draw them out category tonight, that this might be it.
Okay, Derek, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, Jay, I think I wrote the word record setting, or I guess the combination there, but record. I mean, I constantly wrote it over and over, and I even thought it to myself at one point. This is a pretty special year, especially when you got to about the middle of winter, and you're just like, look, all of these records have been broken, and we still have all of these that could fall. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. I mean, this is a long list. I had to sift through a lot of articles and box scores and things like that to kind of make my selection. So absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll get to it then. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoni for record-setting performance of the year goes to...
Well, I certainly have said it all year long. I hope people understand what they're watching and hope that they understand that this isn't normal. You can't go wrong in this category with about 4 or 5 selections. I'm going to cheat a little bit here, guys, and I'm going to bring Dylan Swingle and Ella Skeens together just because it wouldn't be right to name one and not the other. What they have done and the fact that they happen to just be in the same class and doing it at the same time is absolutely remarkable. You know, Ella Skeens at the 22-83. What an amazing number that is. And you know, when then Dylan over at Paint Valley, just shy of 1,800 points, and what those two have done throughout the course of their career to catch the numbers that they did. I can't go against that. That's nothing against some of the remarkable records that are out there, but that's just kind of the way I feel about it, Derek, in terms of what those two incredible athletes did this year.
Well, you know, I tell you what, the listeners might be getting bored here because I'm going to repeat you again. Here's the thing. Both of those records are records that may never be broken again. I'm not saying they won't be. I'm just saying that it had been a long time before anybody had even come close, you know, or having a real shot at doing what Dylan and Ella did this year. I'm not saying it won't be broken, but it's going to be tough for somebody to get there, especially in this day and age where everybody wants the ball. You know, there's so many game plans, so many. Dylan and Ella were two players, and when they stepped on the court, you have to remember that the entire opponent's defensive game plan surrounded around those two players, mm-hmm. and they still did what they did. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Those records are 4 years of hard work paying off. And they were a lot of fun to cover. They were a lot of fun to watch. They were a lot of fun to see kind of how those players progressed. But I mean, to me, you just can't go away from what those two did.
And the other thing I'll add, Bruce, is the fact that with Uniota's streak, Derek and I have talked over and over about how amazing it mm-hmm, is. Mm-hmm. But when you talk record setting, that record is more than just this year's basketball team. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Like it is so many different people and teams that have gone into that, where these particular records are these individuals coming in on their own and individually over the course of 4 years. Obviously, they had great help from their teammates and system and so forth. I'm not saying it's not a team accomplishment as well, but that's for me where I separate these things a little bit in this particular category.
Gotcha. Okay, before we go on to our next category, we want to mention C&K Athletic Equipment, who has been a sponsor for some time, and then their new company as well, Mile Tree Screen Printing and Embroidery. And they are located at 233 Rennick Avenue, a big change over this past year. They were up in Circleville. I think they still have an office up there, as a matter of fact. But they're now down at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. And you can get a hold of them at 740-774-3306. But I will tell you that probably get your best information off of Facebook. Start there. Both entities have their Facebook pages, and particularly Mile Tree Screen Printing right now, Embroidery, has quite a few different videos and pictures and descriptions of what they can do. It's just endless in what they can do out there at 233 Rennick Avenue. So you might look on Facebook for it first to get some idea of what the possibilities are, but definitely give them a call. And again, we appreciate very much all that they've done for us in the last, Shane, what's been about 5 or 6 years, I think we've had them on board. So we appreciate them and look forward to continuing with them in the upcoming season as well. Our next category, guys, doesn't get any easier. It's the play of the year. I'm sure there's a bunch of them on your list for this one as well.
Well, it is. It's crazy because now what happens, Derek, you not only take all the games we've seen, you now multiply that by about 1,000 because of mm-hmm. every individual play as well. And, you know, there's a couple that I'm going to try actually to not make the list too long, because I think, you know, through all the brainstorming, you have to some point separate some plays. And I guess you can appreciate just plays for just that, an individual play, or maybe the thing that separates it for you, the fan, is when it happens. What type of game it happens in, the significance of the play in terms of a game being won or lost, or maybe even a championship being won or lost. I guess the first one doesn't hit any of those categories. For some reason, it's just a play that jumps out in my mind that was one of the most incredible things I've seen all year. It was in the Chillicothe Uniota boys basketball game. The Gabe Fisher block, when he went up, it was like the basketball, like, called his family member a name or something. I mean, he just went up violently and just attacked it. I mean, it was one of the greatest high school plays I've ever seen in any sport. So that certainly has to be in my category. You mentioned things earlier, Derek, that I said that would overlap. The Carson Stouffer sack and fumble. First of all, uh-huh. I remember sitting there in that game, and that's why I certainly can't disagree with you calling it the game, but for me it was the more of the play that stood out. You think mm-hmm. the game's over, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're going into the formation they're going into, and you know, the guy's not under center or whatever, and you're just sitting there thinking, like, what are they doing? And you no longer like comprehend what you're getting ready to watch, and here it comes, 20 just bust in the middle and just blows the whole play up and basically saves the year. And then, as you described so well earlier, what that led to, you know, in my game of the year earlier, think of that final play where I believe it was Cottrell that penetrated the middle and kicked it out left wing, and Sigmund steps into a three. And mm-hmm. like I said, I've been a part of a lot of games in Uniota High School, When that ball went through the net, I don't know that I've ever felt that gym in that type of atmosphere in terms of shaking. So honestly, on a night where I was watching just as a neutral fan from the website or whatever, it was just a really neat thing just to kind of see that ball go in. I would even throw in, I had a chance to see a video of the Stark home run to beat Uniota. That was a pretty big deal in softball for Adina's softball program. That was a pretty cool moment. That's kind of neat in a social media day that we live in where you get a chance to see some of these videos. So, gosh, those are just some of the ones that are on my list. Obviously, the plays go a lot longer than that, but I think I could probably at least narrow it down to there. Maybe Derek, I know you watch a lot too. Tell me I'm missing something, or maybe even comment on a couple of those.
No, I mean, I think you got, you know, kind of most of them are kind of swirling around my head. The one that maybe I had different than you was when Southeastern played Uniota, and I think it was Flag Fest 2017, if you remember that game.
Yeah,
but at the end of the game, Gabe Fisher had been called for hurdling, and at like the last play in Uniota's offensive possessions, he tries to hurdle into the end zone again. And I believe it was Dalton Chafin who knocks the ball out. Southeastern recovers the fumble, and that's how they win, because if Uniota scores, it's a wrap. So I remember that play. Obviously, you mentioned the sack and fumble. You mentioned Sigmund's three. I know Tanner Perdue from Piketon. He had a drive and a dribble drive where he got fouled against St. Trace when they beat them, at Piketon.
Yes.
That was a great play. That kind of sticks out. But you're right, Shane. I mean, there are just so many things that we could say. We could sit here and have an entire show about plays that we saw. So, in a category sense, this was the toughest for me to actually separate one from the herd.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to get to it. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for the play of the year goes to...
Well, guys, maybe I hinted a little bit earlier and ended up giving it away in terms of how I said categories seem to go back and forth. For me, I kind of went with the game earlier, but this time I'm going to go with the play. I'm going to go to Carson Stouffer's sack and fumble. Again, I can so vividly remember thinking it was so cold that night. I was about ready to get up and go, and all of a sudden looking up thinking, what are they doing? What are they doing? And then, he busts the middle, and it was bizarre. But, as I've had a chance to coach against that young man in other sports, there's certain kids that, sometimes we throw out terms of competitor. We throw out terms of winner. We throw out things that, this is a kid that just truly is a winner in every sense of the word. Because if he plays on a team that, again, is capable of being in the playoffs or just is a role player on middle of the pack teams or whatever it is, you truly have to go out and beat him every single time you compete against him, because he is going to die trying. You see what I'm saying? Like that's what stands out with me in terms of that young man as a competitor. So when I think that play kind of highlights his entire athletic career in terms of, as long as there's a second on the clock, you're going to get everything I've got on this next play, and it may be the difference in winning or losing. And in that case, it was just another chapter in what was an amazing historic run for the Southeastern football team this year.
Derek?
Well, Shane, you said competitor, and I'm going to differentiate on you with this one. When I think of competitor, I think of Jayla Campbell as well. I kind of saved this one because I know that maybe not a lot of people saw it. When they beat Chillicothe to win the Division II district title, Uniota's first goal, Jayla scored from about 35 yards out. And it was a lofting kind of corner where you just thought, when she first kicked it, you thought, where in the world is she kicking the ball? Mm. And she put such a spin on it that it just went past the outstretched arms of Chillicothe's goalie, Jayla Brown, and just kind of, hit nylon. And it's one of those goals in soccer where – You look at yourself. Did she just really do that? I mean, that's not possible. I got lucky enough because when Jayla Campbell touches a soccer ball, you take video because anything could happen. And I got lucky enough to get that on video. And that's probably one of my my favorite plays of the year, just because of the nature of where she kicked the ball. and what type of game it was, a rivalry game. And that play there, if you were there, it kind of swung the momentum. In a 0-0 tie, it kind of swung the momentum, and Unyoda kind of said, okay, you know, we've got this, and they end up winning 3-1. So that was my player of the year.
All right. Good stuff, guys. Next category, we're moving to the underappreciated athlete of the year. We're going to tackle the boys category first. Shane?
Well, this one's kind of a tough one. I know under the underappreciated, I know Derek mentioned a lot of the Paint Valley kids earlier. I think some of those kids are on the brink of being really, really good. We mentioned some of those names earlier. They've certainly had good first half to their career, and I think the second half's only going to be better. How about Elijah McCloskey of Huntington? There's a three sport star that maybe I don't think we appreciate quite enough. How about some of the secondary sports when you consider like what a Tucker Marco does in the running? Rex Hartman is another three-sport kid. Again, the way soccer gets hidden sometimes. I know Tyler Williams of Edina is a kid that jumps out. Tyler Schloblock. Even a Tanner Perdue. When you talk about struggle, what category to put him in because of a Dylan Swingle or what an Ella Skeens has done on the girls' side or a Lexi Woods has done or so forth. Maybe even a Tanner Perdue falls into this category. So, again, I guess it kind of depends on how you look at kids. But those are some of the kids that that jump out at me. What say you, Derek?
But, you know, I think some of those kids obviously fit the bill. I would look at Caleb Fogelsong from Edina.
Good pick. Yeah.
Does a lot of the dirty work. Doesn't really get, a lot of the credit when you have a Garrison, when you have a foul. Even in the baseball, diamond as a catcher, he's just tough, gritty. Just one of those players that you want to have on your team, but you hate to play against him. I'd also, you mentioned Pike, and I'd go with Blake Reeder as well. I think he led the league in charges taken.
Talking about a kid that walked into Waverly this year with a shirt that on the back of it had the definition of a charge. It was one of the funniest things I've seen all year. No, that's a great pick. Yeah,
that's good.
So, you look, and he was proud, man. Like when he took a charge, he got up and smiled. His knees are scuffed up. It hurts, but he stood in there and he gets up and he just has this ear to ear smile. And just like that kid's tough. I would throw in even a Brandon Kennedy, Shane, where Logan Swackhammer and Gabe Fisher got
good
a lot
pick.
Of the headlines,
good pick, yeah.
A lot of the blocks, the points, and where Brandon Kennedy, he could have an 11-7-9 night where nobody knew. There's a lot. McCloskey is a great pick as well. He was on there. Isaac Beam on Zane Trace's basketball team. There's a lot of underappreciated kids in our league. And when you start to really think about it, you realize that. And it makes you think, like, man, maybe I should have wrote about this kid more. So it's a long list here as well.
All right, guys. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for the underappreciated male athlete of the year goes to
I tried to pull a Derek Webb. It saved one in my back pocket, but because he's the professional of the two, I couldn't sneak one in on him. He's too thorough. This is my most underappreciated athlete on the boys' side. Bruce is Isaac Beam.
Okay.
I think when you consider what he did in basketball, first of all, but then in baseball, Derek, I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, this kid's as good a hitter as we've had in our league. And in our league, that's saying something. Really, really in the last 10 to 15 years. A lot of times you're going to be underappreciated when you don't pitch. When you pitch, it goes way up. If you look every year at the first team, 7-8 of those selections are going to be guys who pitch as well. That's just the nature of the sport. And until our league separates it, which we refuse to do, it's going to be that way. But listen, the Beam kid's really, really special talent. Really underappreciated. I don't think he's underappreciated inside the baseball circle or inside the basketball circle, but I'm saying in terms of overall league and exposure and fans and so forth, I think he's extremely underappreciated.
Derek?
Well, Shane, you, to your credit, you mentioned mine as well. mine is Elijah McCloskey of Huntington. I think that with the teams that he plays on, they may not win a lot of games, but you definitely know he's in the building every time he steps onto a field or a court. He's a great baseball player. Not a lot of people even know that at all. Obviously we know what he can do at basketball. We know what his skill set in football. And what maybe put him over the top of the other candidates is he's just a good kid. I mean, I don't think I've ever went to a Huntington basketball game or a football game where he's not seen me and said, "Hey, Derek, thanks for coming out and covering us. We really appreciate it and what you do." And so I think maybe that's a lot of people will say, "Well, that's bias." I don't care. that kind of pushed him over the top for me. And like I said, great athlete, great kid, comes from a great family. That was my underappreciated player of the year.
All right, let's move along to the underappreciated female athlete of the year, Shane.
Yeah, again, a couple kids that I've really struggled on categories. Derek mentioned it on the girls' side. This seems to be a theme. Kids like Braden Collins in volleyball, basketball, and softball now, playing on some pretty good teams. Josie Fisher is a kid that I struggled on category. How about Alexi Woods or Aaliyah McFadden at Paint Valley or the Mohans, Abby and Autumn? You mentioned Jayla earlier. I think what happens is someone like Derek really does a great job covering soccer. I think what happens is across our area, maybe soccer doesn't get looked at with the same lens as some of the other sports. So those kids like in the Uniota soccer program, certainly underappreciated. You could throw Mitten in at Southeastern for the same reason. Mm-hmm. Reuter at Piketon. We mentioned Heiss of Southeastern. It really is. It's kind of a long list. And again, I think the reason some of these lists get longer, Derek, is it's kind of tough for me to decide who needs to be talked about in which category.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I stand on it. What's your thoughts on the girls underappreciated?
You're absolutely right. I mean, we kind of mentioned some earlier, later, or some names earlier, and I'm not going to go into the names because, I mean, honestly, a lot of the names that you just said were on my list. We've got similar lists. It seems like we're just picking different winners here and there. But you're right. I mean, like I told you guys earlier, it was so hard to kind of put, the girl athletes in a category, whereas the boys, I was kind of cut and dry. I was like, well, that guy, he's there. So for this category, and I know I said this earlier with play of the year, this was another one of my tougher categories to pick just because there were so many names that could, kind of go into the list under this topic. So I'm anxious to see your pick.
All right.
Hear your pick.
We'll get it out here. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zony for the underappreciated female athlete of the year goes to
a couple of the kids that I almost went with. I think have been given a little bit more exposure in terms of small league list and some exposure. So I'm going to go with Southeastern Skylar Heiss. I think it's a situation where when you look at the level of volleyball and basketball that they've played, it's certainly easy to start to look at a Skeens or a Goebel, not to mention we mentioned Collins coming on strong, and we mentioned Minton or so forth. But in both situations, I think she's such a glue piece in terms of keeping it all together and kind of taking them next level. And I don't think people appreciate nearly the IQ that she plays both sports with and the just overall effort and competitiveness that she plays with.
Derek?
That's a great pick. We talked about her earlier. I already had her written down and circled in this category. I went with Hallie Pinkerton here. On the volleyball court, we know how tough-nosed she can be at that libero position. And here's the thing, Shane. When I just went back, and this is kind of how I picked this and kind of separated this pick from the rest. I went back into my articles that I wrote, and I'm saying, I'm thinking, well, how many times did I write Hallie Pinkerton's name? There weren't a lot this year because you're writing about Ashley Taylor and Hannah Hall and Josie Fisher and Maddie Everest. I mean, a lot of those guys got a lot of the recognition to where maybe Hallie could have had 23 digs, but we didn't have the space in print, to actually put that in there because we're going 12 digs, 7 kills, 5 blocks, 3 or whatever it may be. That was on the volleyball side. On the softball side, and by the way, she plays basketball as well, and she's not too bad at that either. She'll probably put some varsity time in next year, but on the softball field, I think the same thing happens. She gets overshadowed a little bit when you look at Josie Fisher again, when you look at a Haley Holt who hits the cover off the ball, you know, even in during her freshman year, Jayla Campbell was playing before her injury. I mean, Summer Sigmon was there, you know. So to me, when I think about an underappreciated, I look back at how much maybe exposure or coverage I gave her. And I didn't give her enough. So I guess that's maybe a confession. But at the same time, she deserves more. And she should have gotten it. So she's my underappreciated player of the year.
All right, guys. We're continuing our list of categories here for the Sports Zony. And before we do so, we want to again mention Crown Hill Golf Club. We continue to appreciate their sponsorship of the podcast and encourage you to, when you want to go out and hit the little white ball round, give them a call at 740-986-4653 and see what they've got available for you. They will work out packages and so forth. They're located at 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport, and we do appreciate so much their patronage here on the podcast and also the way that they support the local sports teams and so forth. We mentioned earlier a lot of the golf programs or various sports programs will have golf outings up there coming up. I know this weekend Shane's going to be appearing in the Vinton County golf outing, so I'm sure there'll be lots of press available about that, and we'll have to read about how Shane's performance was this weekend, Derek, when we see that in the Columbus Dispatch and, you know, Sports Illustrated and all those different places, I'm sure.
Hopefully Facebook Live. That's kind of what I want to see.
That's a good – I'll have to get in touch with somebody about that.
I'm doubting that.
Well, that's the problem with Facebook Live. You may not know that it happens and before it's done. So
that's true, too.
Guys, we're going to move along. We're running a little bit long on this one, but it is our big episode of the year where we want to get in all these different categories here. We've got, just four more to go. So our next one is going to be called the Performance of the Year. Shane?
Well, this is kind of funny here, you know, guys, because I think every time like Ellis Gaines or Dylan Swingle or Tanner Perdue played in basketball or you know, Braden Collar, you could pick from a long, long list. I know Skeens had 41 one night. I mean, I know Dylan one night in a loss at Uniota in a near upset had like 31 points, 20 rebounds. We've mentioned all three, four different kids from Southeastern football in some of the years they had. I did have down actually the Tanner Perdue fourth quarter against Alexander. I thought that was a great call earlier. I had it in this category. And then Ty Schoblock, I'd mentioned him earlier, a performance he had in an SVC number five earlier this year. So that was kind of a big deal. So obviously when you start to have unique athletes, a lot of their performances would go. It kind of depends on how you'd sort them out or if one jumps out at you.
I totally agree. Especially about when you talk about Swingle, Skeens and Perdue, you know, when I looked at this category, they were the first three names just automatically popped off the page. You do look at some of the individual performances from, you know, Carson Stover, as you mentioned. I know Fisher had a couple huge games for Uniota's football team. Even Drew Rittenhouse, I know he had a couple big time games where he was an All-Ohio defensive back for a reason. He had eight or nine interceptions this year. I think he had three in one game on the defensive side. So yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, this is another category though, Shane. I think we've talked about this, but this is another category where it's you can't go wrong, but you're also not right.
right.
We'll keep that in mind. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zony for Performance of the Year goes to
guys, I think all of those football, basketball, different things for me are more of just their consistency and their career accomplishments. I think in this particular performance of the year, I'm going to go with Ty Schoblock of Uniota shooting a 36 in SVC number five at Crown Hill. Now, I don't have all that in front of me, but I believe that was the low round of the year in the SVC. It was on a night where Westfall on their home course even bumped Piketon down three, and Uniota really had taken control of the league. So again, if you've ever played golf at Crown Hill and you're familiar with it, for a high school kid on a league night to go out and card a 36, that's pretty impressive. So for me, I know I'm a little bit of golf bias maybe, but Certainly could have been an underappreciated type of athlete earlier, but I'm going to go Ty Schoblock of Uniota.
Derek?
So this is the thing. We have the same athlete, but we have a different sport. I picked Uniota Ty Schoblock as well, but for bowling, if you remember, he made the Division II state bowling tournament, but to get there, he broke a national record for, I believe, a three-game series at the high school level, or he was – I know it was a state record. I can't remember his game, Shane, if you can help me for that. I know at the state tournament he bowled 232, 200, and 199 I could not find I couldn't find my own article about – we wrote a feature on him about when he did what he did to get to that. I think it was at the section or the district bowling tournament. But he actually set a state record. I believe, like I said, it was for a three-game series to actually get there. So I went with Ty Schoblock. I just went with bowling.
Wow. That's outstanding, and people won't even believe when we say we promised we didn't do anything before the show to plan any of this. Good stuff.
They did not talk about this, at least while I was involved. Let's put it that way, folks. All right, we move along to the next category, Team of the Year. Shane.
Well, this is where you get into a lot of your championship teams. One of my favorite categories because, again, through all the individual recognition and you highlighting kids and their hard work, the ultimate goal was to take that hard work and to take those performances and to take those record-setting things and put them all together into something that's bigger than you. And that's our team category. Obviously, when we consider what Southeastern football did, Uniota volleyball, Uniota girls soccer, in their district championship. The Uniota boys and Zane Trace girls, when we get into the running sports, have been so good. I would even throw Paint Valley boys track. I know their championship was more last year, and this year they come up a little bit short. But, again, don't count them out as they get going in terms of some things they're capable of. The Uniota boys basketball team, we certainly don't want to overlook what they continue to do. We take that for granted. We mentioned the girls basketball earlier, Uniota baseball, Westfall softball. So again, they're all there, Derek. I think the category kind of lends itself to those teams. It really just comes down to a preference in terms of who you want.
Absolutely. I think that all of those, teams that you just named, you mentioned Uniota's girls soccer team. You mentioned, Paint Valley's track team. I would even throw in Zane Trace's girls track team. A lot of those girls also run the cross country circuit, where they also were very, very good. They made a state appearance. I think I'm ready for this one. I was pretty sure on this one, Shane.
Okay, the 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for the Team of the Year goes to.
First of all, Bruce, you've really ended up outdoing yourself this year on the sound effects. Yeah, last year, this is just the growth of SVC Sports Talk. I think last year we just got a simple drum roll. I mean, Bruce is kind of y'all all in tonight with six, seven, eight different sounds. I just thought I'd throw that in.
There's actually been, eight different ones so far. Not that I'm counting.
Yes, that's impressive.
On. Team of the year,
so,
guys. Stay on
again, time. Again, going back to, I in no way want to not appreciate some of the longevity and some of the consistency of these programs over and over and over. But when I think of team of the year, I try to shorten it to just this particular year. And to me, guys, the story of Southeastern football kind of stealing the show, and rightfully so, if you think about it. I mean, we opened the show talking about all the overkill or whatever, however you feel about the expansion and the enrollment and so forth. What they have done in building the football program up to a level that not only runs the table, but then goes into the playoffs and competes at a regional level as well, is just very, very impressive. So every SVC championship team is special and unique, but in the makeup of our league, for Southeastern to win the league in a sport like football and to do so really in pretty much dominant fashion becomes a no-brainer for me.
All right.
I'm with you here. You're right. It's a no-brainer. I've never seen a team with a couple of fearless leaders like Carson Stouffer and Dakota Houser, you know, Elaine Ruby at the quarterback position. You know, there are just so many kids, Clint Minney, Dalton Chafin, Corbin Ford. There are just so many kids that stepped up at times that they had to step up and win the games against Uniota, Zane Trace, Piketon. A lot of these games that they were down in, Shane, and they just kind of put their heads together and said, hey, we've been here. Look, chill. We're, you know, we're okay. We're going to win this game tonight. And they walked into every game with such a confidence that, and it wasn't a cockiness. It was like, hey, you know, we're going to be the best team tonight. We may not be the best team physically, athletically, whatever you want to call it, but we are going to be the best team tonight. And you saw that on a weekly basis from that team, even in their Colgrove loss to Dawson Bryant there in week 12, when they walked on the field. You really thought, as you know, as a reporter and even as a fan of the kids and Evan Gallagher, you really thought, hey, they're going to win again tonight. You trained yourself to stop doubting them because you had done it so many times in the season. Well, they're not going to beat Uniota. They're not going to beat Zane Trace. And they just did. So yeah, that's a no-brainer for me.
You know, I have to give you credit, Derek. I think when we first started the podcast this year, you were all about them. You said they were going to be good, and they obviously were. All right, guys.
You saw that in their summer workouts. They didn't want to talk about success. They wanted to keep it hush hush.
Yeah.
And I remember asking Evan Gallagher, "Hey, you guys are going to win the league this year, right?" And he just kind of looked at me and smiled and said, "You know, I'm not going to answer that question." And so I said, "Sounds good." But yeah, I mean, you saw it from the very start.
All right, our final two categories, guys, center around athlete of the year. And so the first one is the male athlete of the year. Shane, what's your name? Shane, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, guys, you could certainly start to run down a long, long list. What I've tried to do is shorten it just a little bit. I seem to favor more of the 2- and 3-sport athlete in this particular category. But I think whenever you play a sport at an all-time great level, I still think a Dylan Swingle has to be mentioned in this category. So even though he just plays the one sport, when you play it better than maybe arguably better than anyone in the history of the sport in the conference, that's obviously still worthy in the category. But for me, when I look athletically, I think of athletes like, you know, a Gabe Fisher. I think of, we mentioned Carson Stouffer. You look at kids that start to stretch out more into 2 and 3 sports. And that's kind of where you start to find yourself leaning a little bit, or at least on my side of things. First, Derek, do you agree with that? And two, are there some other people you'd like to throw into the category?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm with you. I kind of tend to lean towards those multi-sport athletes, but yeah, you're right. I mean, when you look at the maybe the resume that they bring in for a 3- or 4-year career, you know, you have to at least acknowledge that and say, I respect what they've done. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. The other, you know, like when I think of this, you know, I thought of Logan Swackhammer. I thought of even a Zach Fout, he was a multi-sport athlete. Elijah McCloskey, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, Bryce Newland, Dylan Swingle, you know, Rex Hartman, again, there are just so many. So yeah, I'm confident in my decision, and I think we're going to match on this one as well.
I think you are too. The 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sport Zoney 4, the male athlete of the year goes to
I'm just going to kind of go on pure athleticism and take some performance to go with it in multiple sports, and I'm going to go with Uniota's Gabe Fisher. I just think with strength and athleticism, as I said earlier, how many times does a kid leave you, you know, 7 months later thinking about a blocked shot, you know what I mean, like in a non-league basketball game? I just think his ability to rebound, his ability to defend. Here's a kid who, you know, here's a kid that, like, oh, wait a minute, quarterback, is that a hard position to play? Yeah, you need me to step in and do that? Yeah, I'll figure it out as I go. You know what I mean? Like, and it's almost like he just kind of, you know, here, I'll take the ball and I'll just athletically do it. Again, when you start talking pure athlete in our league, I there hasn't been a whole lot that I've seen more athletic than him.
Okay. I think Bruce was a surprise when you answered.
Yes.
He's going to be surprised when I answer too.
Okay.
Because I agree. It's got to be. You have to pick Gabe Fisher if you're going athlete of the year.
Okay.
When you think about the quarterback position and the speed of a varsity game, and yeah, he played wide receiver the year before, and he was also really good at that. But they ask him to just be like, "Hey, can you be our quarterback?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'll also run and pass for almost 1,000 yards and score over 20 plus touchdowns, and then I'll go to the basketball team. You know, lead them to a district championship. And hey, if I wanted to, I played baseball last year as well, and I'm thinking about playing tennis. I mean, when you look at the skill set this kid has, he can run cross country, he can participate track, he can do whatever he wants to do. It's amazing to me, Shane. The most amazing thing about Gabe Fisher is that college coaches aren't just swarming all over him. So hopefully that comes down the road for him. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's Gabe Fisher.
All right, good. And you did surprise me, both of you. Let's move along to the female athlete of the year, our final category, I believe, here.
Yeah, well, we started the night a little bit confused on the category. I kind of had Pinkerton in this category. So earlier when I don't view a kid maybe as underappreciated, it's because, you know, she's kind of made my top four or five for athlete the year. When you think of, you know, what she does on a championship volleyball team, her role on a softball team, as you said, going to be a good part of that basketball program as well. When you start just talking pure athleticism, I have to mention Cammy Chandler. I know she just had quite a night in track. We've watched her volleyball get off the floor and do some things that have carried the Piketon volleyball program to a level that, quite frankly, it hasn't been in almost 30 years. Shame on us, Derek, that we have done an entire show over an hour talking about underappreciated, talking about performance, talking about all these categories, and now, and over an hour in, the name Sylvia Gray comes up for the first time.
You're not lying.
So that I apologize to that young lady just on behalf of myself and Derek that hasn't happened yet. And then, you know, a no-brainer here would be, you know, throwing Ella Skeens in, you know, with what she's done in basketball, volleyball. And then she just shows up at the SVC track meet. I'll try some of these events out too, you know what I mean? And it does quite well. So, those are kind of my top five or so. You could even throw a Braden Collins in there, maybe as a kid coming up in the future as a three sport star, Leah McFadden, those types of kids, when you think of overall athleticism. But I think those first four or five names I said kind of is where this category will get down to the actual voting here, Bruce.
Derek?
I'll make my answer short here. You know, first of all, you're right. All of the names you mentioned are definitely worthy. The only name that I would also mention is Westfall's Emily Robinson. You know, basketball, softball, she's a player of the year.
Mohans as well. They've had some nice absolutely. Things to track. That's well said. Yeah.
Okay. So for our final category, the female athlete of the year, the 2017-2018 SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for the female athlete of the year goes to
Well, every one of those young ladies I talked about are very, very special athletes. But when it comes to picking just one, it's really kind of a no-brainer. Arguably the best female athlete I've seen in our league in the last 25 years, and that's Ella Skeens. Just what she does in all her sports and going D1 here at the next level. Going to be so excited to watch her perform. But, man, watching her athletically in our league has been a real special treat.
Derek?
Well, you know, when I said that the play of the year was the toughest category for me to pick, you're right, Shane. This was the easiest for me to pick. You say female athlete of the year, you don't mention Ella Skeens, you're not watching the SVC. I mean, this kid is special. She's once in a lifetime. You know, Shane said he's the best athlete, you know, he's seen in 25 years, or one of the best, or the best he's seen since 25 years. Shane, you're old. I'm not sure what you said there. I was 25 years ago. And so, but anyways, she may be the best athlete that we see for the next 25 years. So all around, you know, as Shane mentioned, different sports, she just shows up kind of like Fisher. She just shows up and she's just the best there. I mean, at whatever sport she chooses to be. So, it's gotta be Ella Skeens in my, no brainer.
Well, guys, that was fun. We want to give the listening audience the opportunity to discuss this with you, and they can do that via email for Shane at admin1@svcsportzone.com, and then he maintains the two profiles on Facebook where you can contact him and get a hold of him on Twitter, where his handle is at svcsportzone.com. And Derek, you're at DerekW1509@gmail.com. And then on Twitter, of course, the very coveted verified account where his handle is at DW1509. And as always, we ask that you consider subscribing to our podcast through iTunes. You can also do so through Stitcher or get on the DBK Media Services website and send in your email address. You'll get a verification email. You got to click on the link in that and you will be signed up, and you will get an email when the next episode, which is going to be episode 222, gets published next fall, because we are going on hiatus here. And again, we want to thank our sponsor, C&K Athletic Equipment and Miletree Screen Printing and Embroidery. We really appreciate their continued support. Big changes this year for them. They're located now at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. Their phone number, 740-774-3306. And as I've said so many times, you can look them up on Facebook and get some ideas of what they might be able to do for you, but then give them a call, because they will, they just do all kinds of things. It's pretty amazing what they're doing in that business right now. Well, guys, who's next? Teams, athletes, records, other things to watch in 2018 and 2019. Discuss.
Well, Derek, first, I just want to thank you for all your time and ability and wherever your career path takes you. I wish you nothing but the best. I really valued our friendship. I'm going to give you a chance here to kind of give a last SVC comment, talk looking ahead from even afar for you in the next year. And then I'll go ahead and kind of throw my two cents in, and I'll close this out, Bruce, if that's okay. But I just wanted to say, Derek, I appreciate that. And I'll give you a chance to say your last few things here in terms of what you're looking forward to in the year to come. And then I'll close this out.
Well, you know, first of all, I've learned myself that if you can go to a job and you have fun, you're not working. It's not a job. So every Sunday, this isn't a work thing for me. This isn't a, you know, something that I've got to do or that, you know, I feel obligated to. It's something that I love and I want to do. So I look forward to Sundays. So thank you for giving me the opportunity, you know, to be a part of it. You know, as far as, you know, kind of what I'm looking forward to seeing in the SBC, obviously you have Uniota's boys basketball streak, kind of watching to see how that goes. I think Uniota's girls basketball on that side can, you know, really maybe create a streak of their own. They're at one or whatever they're at. But after they beat Southeastern there, I think they've got enough talent to kind of build maybe their own streak now. I'm talking about Uniota a lot, but I think their girls soccer team has a real shot at a regional title this year. So maybe fans can be looking out for that. You know, on the football side, obviously it's always fun, Shane, because when you have a dominant team and they lose Carson Stover, for Dakota Hauser, you know, Clinton Minnie, Dalton Chafe, and all those seniors, you kind of want to see how they bounce back and how they respond. So what that also does, though, it kind of opens up the race for maybe some of the teams that were near the bottom last year, like a Paint Valley, who has a lot of talent, you know, even maybe a Huntington under Coach Keller's regime. So just a lot that I'm looking forward to. And I can guarantee you one thing, even though I'll be in Chicago and I'll be hanging out with Sir Brock Netter, Bruce.
Oh, boy.
I will definitely I'll be checking the website. I'll be listening to the podcast next fall because, you know, this is a great way for readers and fans, you know, just to keep up with the local area. And even though I'm not in the local area, you know, this will always be my hometown. So I'll be listening from afar. Yes.
Well, and then the same opportunity to you, Bruce. I mean, you know, obviously we go a year at a time on these contracts, and we've been incredibly blessed by Triple Crown to be with us throughout. But again, just wanted to thank you for all that you have done. Like you said earlier, we've been together for all 221, and hopefully we'll be back for 30 more. But if we're not, I certainly thank you DBK Media Services for all you've done. Wanted to also give you an opportunity to make a final comment here.
Well, I guess what's on my mind, obviously, the SVC is a good bunch of people. I've made friends and acquaintances over there through you. Obviously, I don't live in the SVC, but I feel like I've got, you know, some knowledge about some people as a result of this. I know that they're good people, and I enjoy associating with them and watching them from afar through kind of living vicariously through you guys. And Derek, as far as your involvement, you know, I really appreciate what you've done for us. I wish things had worked out differently, but I wish you the best in what you're doing. And I understand what you're doing, and I applaud that. But just remember where we are. We're in southeastern Ohio, and we love you, and we would welcome you back. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So take care, my friend, and we'll see you in the funny papers.
Absolutely. You got to come visit Wrigley Field. That's what that means.
Okay. All right. I'll get up there.
Well, guys, again, I appreciate it. I will answer the question on the way out here. Who is next? I think Derek talked about a lot of the teams. I think a couple of the records to fall, maybe watch Goble of Southeastern chasing down Matty Eberts. I think that's in reach in volleyball, as those two teams are going to probably set the pace. I wish Braden Collins great health and a great season. I think she's going to have an opportunity in all three sports to do some great things and some of the record setting there. One thing we don't do a whole lot on here, let me give you a couple names to watch out for. Maddie Schultz, come golf at Westfall. Allison Basie, another one there from Huntington. When we talk about breakout stars a year from now on SVC Sports Talk, something tells me that those might be some names that come up as well. So don't forget about Paint Valley Track moving forward here in the smaller division with Burton and Eisen and Cockrell and company. Southeastern football trying to come back and repeat, and people are going to try to, you know, take them down, as Derek said. You know, with what they lose. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Fall will be here before you know it, but we certainly wish all the luck to our spring sports that are still alive, to our spring athletes still alive moving forward, and people can continue to follow their progress on the website. So guys, until next time, which will be in season number 8, if we're so lucky to do so, we thank you, Triple Crown Family Fun Center, and we thank all the other sponsors on the website. So for the final time here in season 7, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.